All right, well, month of August, we've been preaching on the subject of living in expectancy. I need to elevate my faith to believe God for great things. If you have been around my preaching any amount of time, you know that I continuously quote or reference John 10:10. John 10:10, for the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus said, but I have come to give them life and to give it to them more abundantly. All right, so we want to zero in on that word abundantly because that's a big word. The word abundance appears 68 times in the Bible. The word abundant appears 13 times. The word abundantly appears 32 times. So that's a total of 113 times that the concept of abundant life appears in Scripture. So this concept of abundance is found throughout the Word of God, both Old and New Testament. And this concept of abundance is linked to the word surplus. And that's what I want to preach about today. I want to preach about having expectancy for surplus. And we're going to see what that looks like according to God's Word. Now, understand this. Surplus is a kingdom principle. How many of you know that kingdom principles should be operating in our lives? Amen. Kingdom principles. So surplus is a kingdom principle. As believers, it should be, and we want it to be, operating in our lives. God desires us to have a surplus in our soul. So when the kingdom principle is in operation, it creates a surplus of increase with an overflow. So I want surplus on the inside of me. So that means there should be a surplus of joy, a surplus of prayer, a surplus of worship, amen, a surplus of faith, a surplus of expectancy. You know, if that kingdom principle is operating in me, it's in the realm of our soul. So when it's in operation, it is creating a surplus with an overflow. But I want to have a surplus of provision. And the reason why I want a surplus of provision is so that I can be a blessing to other people. How many of you know, as born again people of God, we should be blessing our church? Y'all getting better. I hear more amens coming. We should be a blessing to our friends. Blessing to people in need. The Word of God teaches us that. It is a kingdom principle. So let's define it. First of all, the word surplus, this is just a simple definition taken from the English dictionary. It is defined this way: something that remains above what is used or needed. An amount or quantity greater than needed. That's what surplus is. It simply means an overabundance. We got an overabundance of tacos right there, right? We're going to have an overabundance of tacos being sold. Praise God. And we're going to benefit from that. That's awesome. But surplus is anything that remains above what is used or needed. An amount or quantity that is greater than what we need. That's why I want to talk to you about surplus. So Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief's work is to steal, kill, destroy. And we know he's busy doing that. Stealing, killing, destroying. But the ministry of Jesus is to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. So many times we focus on what the thief is doing and we lose sight of what Jesus is giving. Amen. I don't ever want to lose sight of what Jesus is giving, because Jesus is giving life and he is giving it more abundantly. So in the sermon outline today, I want to answer the question, what is the meaning of abundant life? What does that mean? What does it look like? God's word uses, this concept, and we have these various forms of the word abundance found 113 times in God's word. So if something is addressed 113 times, I think it would serve us well to have some clarity of what God is saying to us, because the Lord speaks to us through his word. Can I get an amen? God speaks to us through the scripture. That's why the book of Hebrews says that the word of God is living and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing point of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thought life and the intention of the heart. David prayed. He said, make me alive according to your word. So in the word of God, there is life. So if something is addressed 113 times in God's word, then I want to know, what is God saying to us? What is the Lord's message to us? And if we have one of the most prominent verses in Scripture, which is John 10:10, I come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly, I want to know what that means. I want to know what that looks like. And then I want to make sure that I am operating and living in that kingdom principle. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. So what is the meaning of abundant life? Well, here is the Greek word. This is taken from the Greek lexicon of biblical words. And I love this definition. It means a sense of beyond. It means superabundant in quantity or superior in quality. It means to be abundantly above. It means to have an advantage, hallelujah, beyond measure, superfluous. That's what this word abundance means according to the Greek lexicon of biblical words. All right, so you can see the concept behind this word abundant or abundance or abundantly, found 113 times in God's word. A sense of beyond, superabundant in quantity, superior in quality. How many of you know, when you said yes to Jesus Christ, your life took on a greater level of quality? Amen? A greater level of quality. Why? Because the life is imparted on the inside. That's why Jesus said, I give you life, and I give it to you more abundantly. All right, so what he gives us is a life that is superabundant in quantity. It is superior in quality. It is abundantly above. It has an advantage. It is beyond measure, and it is superfluous. That is the meaning of the word, my friends. So what does it look like? What is the meaning of abundant life? So we have to zero in on this incredible definition of this word abundant. And I want to tap into this incredible, awesome kingdom concept, because man, it's found 113 times in God's word. All right, so let's move on. All right, what is the meaning of abundant life? What does it look like? First of all, understand this important dynamic. Abundant life is rooted in the spirit life that Jesus gives us. All right, Paul said it this way in the book of Romans. He said that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who no longer live according to the flesh, but they now live according to the principle of the life of the Spirit. All right, so he talked about the dynamic of the life of the Spirit. All right, so this principle of abundant life, it begins with the Spirit life that Jesus gives us. So it's all tied into our relationship with the Lord. It's all tied into our connection to Him. How deep we go in the Christ life. All right, Jesus said this in John 6:63. He said, the words that I speak to you, well, first of all, he said, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit, spirit dynamic, and they are life. All right, so the word, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, Jesus said, the words that I am saying, what I am speaking to you, it is spirit and it is life. All right, so both in the Gospel of John chapter 10:10 and the Gospel of John chapter 6:63, we find the usage of that word life. All right, so that word life is the Greek word zoe. Also, in the Greek lexicon of biblical words, the word life is the Greek word zoe. It is defined as the state of someone who is filled with vitality. In other words, someone who is filled with the life of God. And because they are filled with the life of God, their life takes on a greater quality. Their life takes on a greater quantity. Their life begins to exist in a principle or a dynamic of abundantly above, having an advantage, because it is spirit life, a state of someone filled with vitality. It goes on and it defines this word as meaning absolute fullness of life. It also says that it means to be in a state or a condition of blessedness. Hallelujah. If I could get the message to you today of how much God wants to bless you, I don't know if you could stand to be blessed. But I am here to tell you that God wants to bless you. He loves you so much, and He has so much life for you. And it's this world and the spirit of this world that depresses us and discourages us. And, you know, kind of keeps us limited. But Jesus said, I have come to take the limits off. See, the spirit dynamic in a born-again person produces a quality of life that lost people, people that don't know Jesus Christ, they don't have it. At one time, I didn't have it, and I didn't know any better. Until I got it. And once I got it, man, my life took on a whole different meaning. My life took on a whole different reflection, a whole different attitude. Why? Because there was the impartation of spiritual vitality. That simply means someone who is alive. Aren't you glad you're alive? But are you really alive? See, because you can only be really alive because of the spirit dynamic. So we must understand that. Abundant life, it's rooted in the spirit life that Jesus gives us. And guess what? He's the only one that can give it to you. No one else can give it to you. The world, there used to be a song, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. That has never been truer than it is today. Thank God the world didn't give it to us, because the world would want to take it back. Amen. Jesus gave it to us, and He gave it to us eternally. Thank God that He did. So what does it mean to have an abundant life? What does it look like? What is the meaning of that? Well, let's move on to the next thing. See, abundant life means to be a person of surplus. If you go into the Old Testament, you know what the Lord God spoke to Abram, who would later be named Abraham? He told him that I am going to bless you and make your name great. And he said, all nations of the earth will be blessed because of you. In other words, that they would, you know, that he was tracing the line. He was setting the biological timeline of the birth of Jesus Christ. That you can go all the way back. If you go into the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Luke, many times we visit that during Christmas season because it gives us the genealogical record. You know, this one begot this one, and this one begot this one, and this one begot this one, and this one begot Jesus Christ. You know, so it's all traced back. So in Christ is where the blessing is. See, God said, I'm going to bless Abraham because Abraham would be at the top, you know, kind of at the top of the list of the genealogical line. It all started with Adam, right? But then it's traced all the way down. Started with Adam, started with Eve, traced all the way down to the very person of Jesus Christ. There's a reason why God put all that in there, because he wanted us to get the message. All right, and then God told his people, he said, I am going to bless you for this reason, to be a blessing. So I am blessed to be a blessing. All right, so that's how surplus operates. So abundant life means to be a person of surplus. I want to give you one of those rock your world scriptures. Y'all ready to be rocked? I was watching a little on the news. I saw a little video clip of, and I used to be a big Aerosmith fan when I was rock and rolling back in my rock and rolling days. And you know, those guys are getting old now, Rolling Stones. And, you know, I was a big Stones fan. You know, saw them in 1972 or 73, and Baton Rouge Central Plex. And I used to be in all that stuff. And when I got saved, of course, my music interest changed. And then all I want to do is sing about Jesus. Amen. He put a new song in my soul today. Hallelujah. A song of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. So all I want to do is sing about Jesus and worship Jesus. So, you know, I didn't have interest for that stuff anymore. But I saw this little video clip, and I think Steven Tyler, he's like 72 now. And he came out on the catwalk. They had the stage. They're doing a residency in Las Vegas. And they had the stage, you know, like this. Of course, it was a lot bigger than this. And then they had the little catwalk stage that goes out. So he came out there with his, he kind of has some interesting things in his hair. I don't know if y'all noticed all that, but he's doing a little thing with his hair. And so he had that all fixed. So he came out doing this little dance, this little twirl. And then when he did that spin, I guess he got dizzy. And he fell flat on his face. So he rolled over. He's on his back. He's got the microphone. He's singing the song "Walk This Way." I guess the show must go on, you know. But anyway, you know that. I pray for those guys, and you know, there's been a lot of rock and rollers who have become born again Christians, and. You know, Alice Cooper, you know, raised by, I saw Alice Cooper at City Park. You know, he used with the snakes and the dead baby dolls. And he used to do some wild stuff, man. And I was a Black Sabbath. The first album that I ever had as a young person was a Black Sabbath album that was released, I think, in 1971 or 72. I don't remember the name of it now, But I had all of them after that, and had all that stuff in my room, and I didn't know any better, because I was lost. I didn't know spiritual vitality, you know. I didn't know how that operated, you know. Until I said yes to Jesus Christ, Hallelujah. Now, there was a reason why I shared that story, and it kind of it's evaded me for the moment, but it'll come back in a minute, and I'll remember it, and then I'll probably continue. But I want to give you this. This is why I really use that story, because I believe that our name is on the roll and our life is on the rock. Did y'all catch that? Because you got to make sure that your name is on the roll. Now, some of you people that have been in church for a long time, maybe raised in Sunday school, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Right? Y'all know that great hymn, right? When the roll is called up yonder. And he talks about when the books are opened, you know, the book of life. So there's going to be a roll call one day. So make sure that your name is on the roll and your life is on the rock. So that's why I was kind of thinking of that rock and roll story. You know, because I believe that God's word rocks us. There are certain verses that just kind of rock us. You know, it's like you just kind of get the revelation of it. You get the insight of it. And all of a sudden, man, it just revolutionizes you from the inside out. Ephesians 3:20 is one of those verses for me. It says, "Now to him who in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us." So there's that spirit dynamic. Y'all see it? He says, "Now to him, praise to him, glory to him, now to him who by, in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us," there's the spirit vitality, there's the spirit dynamic, it's working on the inside. He says he is able to carry out his purpose and to do super abundantly, far above and over all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Whatever we pray for, whatever we desire, whatever we are trusting, whatever our dreams are, he says that he is even beyond all of that. He is able to do beyond all of that. Hallelujah. My friends, that's why I want to raise my level of expectancy for surplus. I want to live in supernatural provision so that I can be a blessing. I want my life to be a blessing. Abundant life means to be a person of surplus. See, a surplus person has expectancy that God is a great God. It believes that God is a good God. It believes that God is a God of abundance. It believes that God is an all things are possible kind of God. Do you believe him today, my friends? Is that your concept of who God is? And listen, God wants to use his people to bless others. But consider this, if we live empty lives, if we are living in lack, how can we bless others? How can we bless the church? Now, does this mean that God's people are never in need? Of course not. There's always going to be need. And God allows us to be in need from time to time for this reason, so that we will learn to trust him. Learn to trust him. That's why I believe that even people that are in financial need, I believe they should never stop giving to God's work. Never. How is that illustrated? You can go to the poor widow in the New Testament, and the Bible says all she had was two mites. And Jesus was watching people bring in their offerings. And he said all the rich people were just, you know, they were just throwing in a portion, you know. It wasn't going to affect them at whatsoever. So then this little widow woman comes in and she throws in all that she had. It was the only thing she had. Jesus centered her out. Even in the midst of her poverty, are y'all listening? Even in the midst of her poverty and in her lack, that she was honoring God by her giving. I could bring you to the Old Testament and show you about the story with Elijah the prophet and the widow lady whose son was about to die. And the Bible says that they were going to have a last meal. It was their last supper. And then they were going to die. You know, because they, you know, and their meal was not enough to even sustain life. Until the prophet of God showed up. And then it's an amazing story. Because the Lord wanted them to take care of the prophet. And when she obeyed, there was a jar of oil that was brought in. And that oil was very valuable. It was valuable stuff. And the Bible says that it never ran out. It was an unlimited supply. That gives us an idea of how God operates. You see, abundant life means to be a person of surplus. There'll be times when we are in need. There'll be times when we may not know how we're going to make ends meet. I mean, life just does that to us. But in the midst of all of those times, see, God allows it because he wants us to learn to trust him. You can't trust your bank account. You can't trust your job. You might go in tomorrow morning and say, well, there's been massive layoffs over the weekend. Here's your pink slip. See you later. Or last check, sayonara. You know, I mean, those things happen. Amen? They happen. The government might send you a letter. Well, we're sorry to say, but, you know, the funding for Social Security just went broke. We'd all say what? That's why I was like, y'all don't lose that Social Security until I get mine. Because I want some of the money that I have paid in. Amen? I want to get some of it back. Hallelujah. That's not the government's money. It's my money that they took out of my check. And I'm still mad about it. And I know you are too. Amen? But I mean, it's all... You know, lack. So that brings me to the next thing. See, we must not buy the world's message of a spirit of lack. Don't buy into it. That's why I love Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to the spirit of this world. How many of you know there's a spirit in this world? Amen. It operates by a demonic spirit as a spirit of this world. Don't be conformed to the spirit of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, demonstrate, exhibit what is the perfect, acceptable will of God. Don't conform to this world's concept. See, this world's concept is not biblical. See, the world conditions us to think in terms of lack and limitation. That's why we always hear the word lack. There's a scarcity. There's a shortage. It's been used up. There's not enough. In the world, everything is limited. On our cell phones, we have limited data. We have limited minutes. Thank God there are unlimited plans. Somebody's thinking like God at the phone companies. But the only thing is they charge you extra. Amen? For that plan. But everything is limited. Limited minutes on our phones. Limited data. Limited coverage on our insurance. You know, when you get a vehicle, if you don't have enough, you know, down payment or enough of your trade-in or and you buy a new vehicle, then, you know, they want to sell you what is called gap insurance. In other words, the minute you buy the vehicle and you drive it off the lot, it just depreciated about $5,000, or so they tell us. I don't know who's making up the rules, who's making up the figures. I don't know, but they why don't they give us that discount before, right? Amen? But that's, you know, the world operates a certain way. They want to sell you gap insurance. You know, limited coverage on insurance. Limited money for Social Security. Limited crawfish. No, never. That's why we don't want cold winters. Because When there's a limit, what does it do? Spikes the price, right? We don't want it limited. We want it unlimited. Unlimited crawfish. But everything has limits, 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 limits. See, the world's message is a message of lack, but God's laws are laws of surplus. The world's laws are laws of lack. So don't buy the world's message, my friends. Live in God's kingdom principle. And that brings me to the next thing. What does abundant life look like? How do we define it? Because God is a God of surplus. He is a God of surplus. It is found throughout the scripture 113 times, the concept of abundance. Am I living in it? Am I walking in it? Am I enjoying all of what God has for me? I used to, Josiah, when he was, a boy, he kind of had this, he's still a boy, but he graduated high school now, and, he's a young man. But when he was a boy, 7, 8, he thought that the ATM machine just dispensed cash as much as you need. See, the way it works is you have to put something in to get something out. If you don't put something in, you don't get anything out. It's like the guy that goes to the bank and he says, I want to make a complaint about your ATM machines. Well, what's the problem with it? Said, so, well, every time that I've been trying to draw money out for the last month, and every time I do so, it won't give me any money. Said, so, well, let's check your account, look up your account, see what we have here. Said, so, well, sir, you haven't made a deposit in the last 6 months. And if there's no deposit, there's no return. Amen? No deposit, no return. We have to sow something to get something. A farmer plants a seed, he reaps a harvest. Isn't that right? Interesting thing about a farmer, he never eats all of his seed. Because he knows that if he wants a future harvest, he has to continue to plant seed. Amen? See, that's the same principle in provision with God. If we never sow seed, we never reap a harvest. And I believe that's why so many people always struggle and struggle and struggle financially. And we need, in this day and age, we need money principles. This is why Dave Ramsey is such a very successful guy with his financial school universities. If you are, his stuff is tough. I always say, man, that guy just convicts me, because his principles, they're tried and proven principles, and they're rooted and based in the Word of God. And he's a born-again Christian. Guy's a multimillionaire. Multimillionaire. But he understands how money works. He understands the principles. And he emphasizes strongly the principle of giving, the principle of sowing into the local church. He believes in all of that. But a lot of people, they live in constant lack because they don't manage what God gives them. See, if we learn how to manage with little, we'll be able to manage well with a lot. And if we don't conquer a little, we'll never conquer a lot. Amen? So that's why Jesus taught us the principle. He said, be diligent about the small matters. If you're diligent about the small matters, you'll be given greater areas of responsibility. It's a principle in God's word. Amen? But God, he always taught his people, that he is a God of provision. Consider these statements in Deuteronomy chapter 8. God speaks this to the Israelites. He said, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, all the bunny bread you can want. Praise God, all the rolls. Man, I could smell them right now coming from the steakhouse over there in Harvey. That's one reason we like to go to the steakhouse. They got unlimited rolls. Now, I can only eat about two of them. And sometimes I feel like I didn't get my money's worth, but then I was like, well, wait a minute. I didn't pay for them. They're complimentary. So, like, when you go to the Mexican restaurant, all the chips. I love the salsa. I eat so much salsa, I get up in the restaurant and do a salsa dance. I mean, all the salsa, all the chip. I mean, it's unlimited. We went in a place over in Clearview, sat down in there. Becky brought me there for the first time, sat down. I was like, wait a minute. They charging us for the chips? Get your purse. Let's get out of here. This place ain't operating on a principle of surplus. Are y'all with me? I mean, man, you know, God is a God of surplus. He said he's going to bring them into a land. They're going to eat bread without scarcity. Listen, he said, in which you will lack nothing. A land where stones are iron and out of the hills are copper. God is a God of surplus. Consider this one, Psalm 65:11. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. Man, that's an awesome God crown. That's a New Year's verse right there. I'm going to remember that one. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. The key there is walking in his paths. See, if you walk in his path, then you begin to reap, you know, because you're making a deposit. If you want a strong relationship with God, it's going to demand an investment from you. You're going to have to dedicate yourself to the Word of God. If you want to grow in the things of God, you need to get in West Point Bible School. Sign up. It's free. Unlimited Bible courses right here. We don't charge you a dime for them. I mean, you can't even get free asparagus. Think about it. Free broccoli, the stuff nobody wants anyway. Right? But you still can't get it free. But we got free Bible courses. It's going to cost you something. If you want to have your year crowned with goodness, you want your past dripping with God's abundance, it's going to cost you making a deposit into your walk with God, into your relationship with the Lord. You're going to have to dedicate yourself to a season of prayer. You're going to have to dedicate yourself to learning and growing in His Word. You're going to have to dedicate yourself to being in the house of God. You're going to have to dedicate yourself. And if you do that, then, my friends, you are going to reap the benefits of a God of surplus. Consider this one in Proverbs 11, and this is in reference to giving. He said, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. In other words, he's throwing his money out everywhere. He's giving to every cause, everything. You know, he's just sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing. That's how I want to be. I want to be a seed sower. I want to just sow and sow and sow and sow. I met a guy, he was an alcoholic, because, you know, how do I know that? Well, he was stumbling for one thing. And then when he got close to me, I was getting high, just smelling his breath. And, you know, so he was wanting some money. And I was going into Wendy's, actually, to get the $5 baggie. Boy, you talk about a deal right there. Hallelujah. Go and get the $5 baggie. And, man, they got nuggets, French fries, a drink, a hamburger. Come on, somebody. So the brother, he caught me going in. I said, brother, I said, I don't have a dollar in my wallet. And it was the truth. I didn't have any money. I said, I'm going in here. And I said, I'm getting lunch for me and my son. So we're working down to church. And I said, I'm going to use a card to pay for that. All right, here's the next words out of his mouth. Okay. He said, can you get me a hamburger on that card? I said, absolutely, brother, I will. What do you want? So he gave me his order, and then I turned him heading into the restaurant, and he says, and a vanilla Frosty. I said, you got it, man. I got you covered. I got you covered. Hallelujah. He didn't even wait till I got outside, man. He'd already come inside. He'd done secured his seat in the restaurant, and he was waiting for that burger and that Frosty. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know, that was an opportunity. You know, that was minuscule, but that, you know, I sowed seed, you know, in that man's life. You know, it was better than buying him a beer or whatever, you know. And I'm sure he was hungry because he probably been buying his beer, you know. So I was able to meet his need momentarily. We had a guy came in the church. We were doing a work day around here years ago. Guy was on a motorized wheelchair, and he used to go everywhere on that wheelchair. Man, I was always concerned about him. I was like, I'm so concerned that brother's going to get hit. And, he'd come in service on a Sunday morning from time to time because his monthly government check had run out. You know, so everybody always wants to see the pastor. They think the pastor's loaded, you know. So, I don't carry a lot of cash with me. You know, I'll give somebody 5, 10, maybe 20 bucks at the most, you know. So I'd given the guy a few dollars from time to time. So he comes in and in the back fellowship hall, he goes in and he's presenting his story. And I'd heard the same story, I don't know how many times. And there was another man back there that was working. And he just reached into his wallet and pulled out a $100 bill. And gave the guy a $100 bill. I said, "Oh, Mike, no. I said, you can't give them $100, man. I said, they're going to go buy so much booze with that. They're going to have booze money and cigarettes. He said, $100 ain't going to solve his problem. I said, well, you're right, you know. I said, that's true. And I said, if that's what you feel you wanted to do. I said, but I always try to temper that, you know, because, I don't want to fund somebody's vices. Amen? But somebody that's hungry, I want to take care of that. Can I get a witness? Amen? Somebody's in real need. I want to help that situation. But I don't want to fund a vice. I don't want to fund an addiction. Amen? And that's why we struggle. You know, so many times, you know, I'm confronted with people, you know, wanting a handout. And I remember one year Stephanie was at the red light down in Tarrytown. And she had youth money she had collected for the youth department. So she, her heart of compassion was moved. The guy with the thin legs and the wheel and the crutches. Thank you. The crutches was out there. Yeah. He was a regular. Y'all probably know who I'm talking about. I've given that guy money from time to time, just a few bucks, you know. So Stephanie wanted to just, her heart of compassion was moved. She wanted to just give him a couple dollars, and she accidentally grabbed, I think, a $20 bill, or a $50 bill, something from the youth money. And gave it to the guy, and then she was like, "Oh, wait, I can't give you that." And she had to take that money back. That guy was probably depressed for the rest of the day, right? She wanted to do a good thing, but she couldn't give away the youth money, praise God. But the Bible says there's one who scatters. He's sowing his seed. But look at what it says, yet he's increasing more. And then, but notice next. There's one who withholds more than what is right, and it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will always be watered himself. Hallelujah. It is a promise of God, my friends, a promise of God. Now, you may be saying, well, Pastor, that's all Old Testament theology. Well, I'm glad you said that, because here's what the Bible says in the New Testament. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He shall supply all of my need. How about this one? 2 Corinthians 9:6, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Hallelujah. If we will learn the revelation and the insight that God is a God of surplus, and when we do things to sow seed, whether it's in the local church, whether it's helping somebody in need, whether it's ministering to the poor, whatever it may be, I am telling you, God takes notice of that. And when he does, he is going to do supernatural things to cause it to come back to you. Why? Because God is a God of surplus. Now let me move on. Almost done. A couple of things here. We're going to conclude and we're going to pray. Surplus flows from a healthy soul. 3 John verse 2. And beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, I know we always look at that word prosper, or that word prosperity, and we think that, you know, that it's always in dollars and cents, that it's always in material things. But I've said this before, I'll say it again. The word prosper and the concept of the word prosper simply means God has a desire for you and I to have a good journey. That's what the word means in the Hebrew language. So when God says, I will prosper you, he was saying, I will give you a good journey. I will give you a bountiful supply. I will give you an increase. See, it's all involved in the journey of life. So when we sow, when we invest, when we make deposits, God says that he is going to prosper us. He's going to give us a good journey. So that also means that we're going to have peace in our mind, tranquility in the depth of our soul. He'll give us peace like a river. Amen. There'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory, as the scripture says. See, all of that is a result of having a good journey. Surplus flows from a healthy soul. See, it's all about being right with God. When we are in right relationship with God, and we listen, and we are obeying his word, and we are being diligent to take what God says and what he speaks to us, and we act upon it, my friends, we step into a greater level of our relationship with Jesus Christ, and our quality of life steps up, and things begin to happen supernaturally. So then there is a principle of surplus that flows from within. See, the soul must be healthy and overflowing with the life of Christ. The power of salvation is that Christ produces an abundant and an overflowing life. That's why he said, I give you life and I give it to you more abundantly. Hallelujah. That's why I love the most famous psalm in all the Bible, Psalms 23. And what is Psalms 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. The original King James says, I shall not want. New King James says, lack. It means the same thing, just a little word change. I shall not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. See, you can't lose sight of that. What does that mean? That means he's guiding me. He's leading me. I'm following him. I'm not doing what I want to do. I'm not calling the shots of what I want to do, where I want to go, what I want to participate in. I am allowing him. The Lord is my shepherd. I am following the shepherd. The shepherd corrects me. The shepherd rebukes me. The shepherd leads me. The shepherd guides me. So when the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Hallelujah. Get it in your spirit, my friends. Because it's talking about the surplus of a healthy soul. When your relationship with the Lord is where it needs to be, you are going to see an abundant, overflowing life that is coming in you and out of you, and you are being blessed to be a blessing, and you will see supernatural things happen in your life. Hallelujah. And that's why I'm believing God. West Point, we are going to be the most generous church. Y'all know that we always like to, we like to give away stuff. That's why every anniversary, we always give away something. We always give, you know, it costs us, all of that costs money. You know, so then I've been thinking, you know, say, Lord, you know, our church is increasing, and we might need to kind of tighten the belt on that and stop giving away these gifts. And then I just kind of felt a rebuke. You want to be a giver? Or you want to be a tightwad? Are y'all with me? There's a lot of tightwads in the world. I don't want to be a tightwad. I want to be a blesser. Amen? So here's the key dynamic, and I'll leave you with this one. See, a surplus person steps into a new level of believing and receiving. Get this concept in you today. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to bless you abundantly. So that, there's always a purpose behind it. It's not just so we can be fat cats. Come on, somebody. Amen. Not so we can be fat cats. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So what does that mean? Jesus gave us a great example. He said, I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick and you prayed for me. I was in need and you met my need. And then the disciples kind of stood back and said, Lord, when do we ever see you in need? When do we ever, you know, see you, visit you in prison? When do we ever, what are you talking about? And then Jesus gave us that. He said, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these. You know what the least of these are? Those who can't do anything to benefit you. A lot of politicians are in trouble because they do things because they want benefits. Right? And they get themselves in trouble. God says, when you minister to the least of these, they can't do anything back for you. They can't help you in any way. They can't. It's not a scratch their back, they're going to scratch your back kind of mentality, because they can't do that. He said, as much as you have done it to the least of these, you have done it to me. See, it's all about making a deposit. Every time I go to a hospital visit, I'm making a deposit. I've been called to go to jail cells, making deposits. I've been called to go pray and lead people to the Lord that were dying and about to exit this life. Called to go make a deposit. Now, in the old days, my father-in-law, wives would call him to go get their husbands out of the local bar room. And he'd do it. He'd go get them. Now, in today's environment, I'd have to really pray on that one, you know, but Becky can tell you, he'd do that. You know, he'd do that, making a deposit. See, God is a God of surplus. And if I will do what he says, if I will obey his word, I am going to have expectancy for supernatural things.